بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فبما رحمة من الله لنت لهم ولو كنت فظا غليظ القلب لانفضوا من حولك فاعف عنهم واستغفر لهم وشاورهم في الأمر فإذا عزمت فتوكل على الله إن الله يحب المتوكلين. It is on account of Allah Ta'ala's special mercy that you are gentle towards them. Had you been hard, harsh-hearted, then they would have broken away from you. So overlook their faults, pray for their forgiveness, and consult them in all important matters. But when you have taken a decision, then put your trust in Allah, for Allah Ta'ala loves those who put their trust in Him. The exalted maqam position of the Sahaba Kiram can be understood in this way, that in this three rukus, approximately two or three times, Allah Ta'ala announces their forgiveness. وَلَقَدْ عَفَىٰ عَنْكُمْ. Allah Ta'ala has forgiven you. عَفَى اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ. Allah Ta'ala has forgiven them. And then in this ayat, فَعَفُوا عَنْهُمْ. O Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you also do forgive them. So it was a group of people that were most sincere, striving in the cause of Allah Ta'ala. There was no doubt about their affinity and love for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, a mistake in their calculation and discretion, and Allah Ta'ala covers the fault so beautifully that He announced their forgiveness. So He doesn't give any license to any person right till the day of Qiyamah to speak out against them. Further, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is being advised, had you been hard and harsh-hearted, then they would have broken away from you as well. So for the future as well, Nabi Sallam is required to be gentle towards them, like he was always gentle. The disaster at Uhud was great and severe. But with all that, Allah Ta'ala knows their hearts, He knows their intentions, so He's required to deal gently with them, forgive them, and beg Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness on their behalf, pray for their forgiveness, and consult them in all important matters. Shawirhum fil amr, the word mashwara, consulting. When the word is used in Arabic, shurt wal asl, that someone has pulled out the honey from the hive. So you say, shurtu al-asl, I have pulled out the honey from the hive. That is to show that mashwara comes from the same root word, shurtu al-asl, pulled out the honey from the hive. In other words, you have taken out the best. And because it's a mashwara, and because it's been likened to pulling out the honey from the hive, then it will have an additional meaning, and the additional meaning will be that you have taken out the best, like the honey is the best of the hive. And the second meaning it will have is that, like that honey is a cure. So this consulting is a cure for your problems and your difficulties, that it will be a solution, it will be a treatment and a cure for your matters, for all your problems. Therefore the hadith emphasizes that the one that consults, then he is never regretful, he has no remorse. The one who consults with people of intelligence and understanding, then he is guided rightly, is correctly guided. And again the hadith says that when your wealthy are generous, your leaders are good people, and your matters are concluded with mashwara and consultation, then the surface of the earth is better than the inside of the earth. But when your wealthy become miserly, and your leaders become corrupt and evil, and your matters are decided by women, then the inside of the earth is better for you than the surface of the earth. So the importance of mashwara. Overall, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is guided directly by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He didn't require consulting with the sahaba kiram, but perhaps there was some divine wisdom in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam having to consult with the sahaba kiram. For his mission and the mission of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has to continue till the day of Qiyamah. So there'll be two sides to his life. The one side will be as long as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is around with the sahaba kiram and the believers. And the other is when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not going to be around, then what are the sahaba and what are the believers supposed to be doing? So a substitute to that revelation will be mashwara and consulting. So as though the consulting will be a substitute, a replacement for that wahi and the direction that came direct from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the sahaba ikram and the believers were given a great consolation that even though the wahi is not around, then too you will have some type of a substitute. When you are confronted with any problem, then you resort to mashwara and consulting. Then the importance of mashwara. The ulama are unanimous that la khilafata illa an mashwaratin. A leader can only be appointed as a leader after consulting. He can't just come out unilaterally and claim his leadership. And then the leader also has to follow, has to consult. So they say, مَنْ لَمْ يَسْتَشِيرُ أَهْلَ الدِّينِ وَالرَّأِي فَأَهْلَ الدِّينِ وَالْعِلْمِ فَأَزْلُهُ وَاجِبٌ هَذَا مَا لَا خِلَافَ فِيهِ بَيْنَ الْعُلَمَاءِ. He says, the leader, it is incumbent upon the leader that he consults with people of ilm, people of intelligence and understanding. And if he doesn't consult people of learning and understanding, فَعَزْلُهُ وَاجِبٌ, then for him to be removed and replaced is compulsory, it's a duty. And this person takes unilateral decisions, he doesn't consult, so hence he must be removed, he must be replaced. Then the type of people that we need to appoint in the mashwara, and the type of people that have to be consulted. Mashwara is not just a simple thing and an ordinary thing, it's an instruction of deen. So how do we go about doing and conducting that mashwara? Has Ali radiallahu anhu had asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that if we come across a time where we don't find any clear director from the Quran nor from the Hadith, then what are we supposed to be doing? So Nabi sallam explained to him that you consult those fuqaha, those that have a deep understanding of deen, and those that are engaged in ibadat. In other words, not just those that have a deep understanding, but with the deep understanding, they have a good part of their time and their life engaged in ibadat, and the worship of Allah Ta'ala. So you consult with this class of people, they have a good understanding of deen. Number two, they have dedicated themselves for ibadat. So consult with them and don't take an independent decision. Overall, the person that you are consulting must have these three qualities. One is he has a deep understanding of deen. Number two is he must be also a person of learning. And number three is he must be an experienced person. He's got that learning, he's got the deep understanding, and he's engaged in ibadat. You see, a good portion of his life is in ibadat, and with that, he is also intelligent and understanding. So this is the type of person that you will consult in your matters. The ulama have explained approximately 5 adab and 5 etiquettes when we are consulting. One is the person must be of understanding and knowledge. He has the necessary knowledge about what you're going to be consulting him for. If it's a medically related problem, then you're not going to consult an engineer. Someone that has got the necessary knowledge about medicine, you will consult with him. So, the person that's got the experience, the know-how and the understanding, then you will consult with him in these type of matters. If it is about deen, then obviously you will consult an alim who has sound knowledge, understanding and experience in deeni issues. Number two, the hadith also says that people that have sound understanding and reasoning. So this excludes women, because the hadith says it, that women are deficient in their understanding and their reasoning, so they should not be included in mashwara. It doesn't mean that we cannot take a suggestion from them, but this is not the rule that we include women into the mashwara and into our consultation. If there is a good suggestion coming from that end, we can view it, we can think about it, but it is not required of us that we include women into the mashwara, because the hadith says it clearly that the reasoning, the understanding is deficient. Therefore, that person, that man who sits for too long hours with women, even though it may be his own relatives, immediate, his wife, his sisters, etc., then he is not a person to be consulting with, because person that is spending too much of time with women, then his understanding, his reasoning, and his suggestions also become weak. Number three, the third requirement is that the person that you are consulting, he mustn't be at the time overcome with worries and anxiety. Because if he is overcome with anxiety and worries, then he can't give you a balanced suggestion. He must be balanced, in a balanced state of mind. He's got no worries, no distress, and no anxiety for him to be able to give a clear, unbiased opinion. Number five is the person that you're consulting, then that person mustn't have a personal motive. He mustn't be biased. He mustn't have a personal motive in that. For obviously, if he's going to have a personal motive and a personal agenda, then he can be biased in his decision. So when all these principles and these etiquettes are observed, then definitely you will gain the assistance and the direction from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. And when you take a decision, then put your trust in Allah ta'ala. What is the meaning of when you take a decision? Ibn Kathir reports a hadith. فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ means that you refer to the people of understanding and ilm, and thereafter you follow them. You take the suggestions of the people of understanding, people of ilm, and thereafter, ثُمَّ اتِّبَاعُهُمْ, thereafter you follow them. This is the meaning of when you take a decision. So after you have taken that decision, you have included them, you have consulted with them, then you follow them, then you don't take an independent decision. فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Then in all this, we don't trust ourselves, we don't trust our individual persons, rather we trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not our intelligence, not how smart we are, and how clever and intelligent and far-sighted we are. Rather, we put our trust in Allah Ta'ala alone. Allah Ta'ala loves those who put their trust in Him. May God bless you.